Blind Cool Tech, March 20th, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, the show where life,
hey y'all,
technology,
hello,
and blindness,
hello, is anyone here? I can't see anything.
Comes together.
Please welcome your host, Larry Skookman.
Hey y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skookman, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I've got to make sure I've got everything out of my office that I need to take with me to Los Angeles. And I'll be darned, I almost forgot the bookport. That would not be a good thing to forget. Ooh, you know, come to think of it, I need a cable. I'm surprised I just don't keep one in here. I'll just grab this one out of my computer. For the time being. Today's topic is security, and some things you probably didn't know. All right, little buddy. Well, thank you, sir. I intend to.
There's probably going to be a lot of things to see out there.
Yep, lots of good stuff going on. Y'all be good. If you need me, you have my number.
I'll see you at the airport, Larry.
Yep.
Have you seen or heard of the cell phone that has no screen?
Yeah, the Osus 22. There's a good review of it up on Blind Cool Tech.
Is there?
Mark Mulcahy did
it. Showing it off out there. But.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to try to meet with him for about a half hour and get the scoop on that, and Orca as well.
Good.
All right, see y'all. Let's see, Raj, we got business cards, don't we?
Yep.
You got them in the thing?
I can put them in there.
And
I'll take a handful of them.
All right. What show?
Jay Leno.
Oh, yeah. A lot of those shows are filmed out there. All right, y'all have a good week. All right, little buddy. Good boy. You're such a good little doggy. No matter what they say. Yeah, security. As I mentioned to you Friday, and I think Thursday as well, we had a little problem with our FTP site. Wasn't a big deal. Somebody just uploading a bunch of junk, and I had to delete the folder and temporarily shut her down until this guy goes away. So, I'm asking. Good boy. Right. I'm asking people to use usendit.com to send in your submissions. It's not quite as convenient, but probably what I'll end up doing is putting up another FTP folder and then just giving the password out on an individual basis. Good boy, little buddy. Let's go straight. That's my good buddy. He's a good doggy. Yeah, well, you got a good joke. Oh, I can take them. I'm blind, too, but I like blind jokes, too.
The old Catholic priest got a new young assistant who really just went to town, you know, bring up the church and all this good stuff. So after a month or so, the old priest called him in. He says, "Now, I want to tell you, I think you're doing a great job." He said, "That idea of putting recliners in the first two rows of the church was really good. But man, they're filled up, you know, it's getting people in here and everything. And a little quicker beat on some of the music. It's got the young folks in and everything. But the drive-by confessionals just have to go." And the young priest says, "Why?" He said, "You know, donations are up, more people involved, having more confessionals and everything." He said, "Yep, that neon light that says, toot and tell or go to hell."
I like it. So, toot and tell, huh? Well, you know, those drive-by confessions remind me of the way the outpatient situation is with the surgery anymore. Like when I had my gallbladder done, I felt like it was a drive-through. Hey, Ralph.
You're probably close to right.
Yeah, I went in there at 11. They dumped me out at 4, man.
Are you kidding? For gallbladder?
Yeah.
Whoa.
See you later.
Hey, you have a good one.
You too. Yes, sir. I won't be back till Monday. I'll try to have some fun without you, but I know it's going to be tough. You try to what, John?
Tackle connections.
Mm-hmm.
CD that Steve did. Turned mm-hmm. out fine.
Good. So he's just going to keep the master for that down there then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Y'all had Gerald check it out?
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Glad to hear that. I was a little worried about that.
So we'll tell him, I'll send him an email telling him we can go ahead and produce him because he's got the label, right?
I don't know. Do I have the label for that?
I thought you did.
I don't think I do.
Well, if you don't, I'll send him the label for
him. Okay.
And make sure that you've got a copy of the label.
Okay. All right.
So we'll get that pushed while you're gone.
Okay.
All right?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, John. You have a good week, too. So, I was telling you, Friday when we talked, that I was speculating on why this person was doing this, and I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this person because, well, that's really what he's enjoying doing, is watching our reaction to his antics. And I do know a little bit about the person now. In fact, I know a lot about him. And I think that, you know, someone speculated on the list that he had been slighted, and I think that's what he feels, that somehow we slighted him, we being Blind Cool Tech. And I want to assure him and any of you that that's not the case at all. We welcome any of your submissions. This guy was a musician, just a well, I don't know. But I guess the more interesting thing is that he tried to cause a little havoc to Blind Cool Tech, and it opened up our eyes to some of the vulnerabilities of email and listservs, and especially Eloquence. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. That was one of those buses that kneels down and lets the wheelchairs on, and that beeping goes on while the bus is going down, and it was kind of a bad design. sorry about this wind, because it also spits out some air, and it's right there at the door, so if your dog's going up to it, the bus is beeping and spitting out air and going down, and it's not all that inviting for a dog. It really hadn't been a problem for Jake, but I mean, I can see where if a dog was the least bit skittish about getting on a bus, that would certainly make him hesitate a little bit, to say the least. We are, by the way, walking home on Frankfort Avenue, and that beeping you hear right there to my left is an accessible or an audible signal. I'm crossing the street, and now you can hear the one on this side of the street. I'll explain to you a little more about it when we get to this next one, while we have to stop. But anyway, this person then sent me a message, or actually several, that contained some characters that caused the Eloquence text-to-speech engine to crash, to put it bluntly. This has been a problem in Eloquence for years, and I'm surprised this has really never came out to this degree before, but it's kind of interesting. I don't know why he's targeting Blind Cool Tech. I guess it's kind of like that. I don't know who said it, but they said something to the effect of there's only one thing worse than being talked about, and that's not being talked about. Well, Blind Cool Tech is certainly getting some attention, and I guess not everybody's happy about that, but that's all right. We're enjoying it, and we are learning a lot, and I actually have to say I appreciated the education that this little pest gave us. I mean, all this stuff we knew, but it kind of brought home how important it is. And I'll tell you what I mean as we continue the walk. So when I got these messages, the first time it crashed my, I was using Window Eyes, and I suspected what it was as soon as it happened, because, well, I mean, Window Eyes just doesn't crash. I've seen it get a little squirrely now and then, but never seen it just outright dump out. Not version 5.5 anyway. Good boy. Okay, here's this other signal. One thing this is a locator beep on the signal, so you can find it. We're going to push the button, and you can hear that it makes that noise. There's an arrow on this button, too, to indicate which way you're crossing. Listen, too, you'll notice the volume goes up as the ambient noise goes up. This is also vibrating. Can you hear that? So the button vibrates in case it's so noisy you can't hear, or if you're deaf-blind. I am going to have to stop and put my gloves on. It's pretty chilly out here this afternoon. So anyway, after I rebooted, I switched over my synthesizer in Window Eyes to DeckTalk Access 32, which I'm actually growing quite fond of. Maybe this was the DeckTalk people that did this. No, just kidding. Well, shortly after that happened, this was all Friday now, this person sent a message to the list. And, you know, I missed this original message, but, ooh, I sure saw the after effects of it. He sent a message, apparently with an attachment, to talking about this fantastic sound editor that supported plugins and did just everything you would want to do with a sound editor. It was another SoundForge 8, and it was only $20. And here it is attached to this email. Well, stop. Don't any of you ever open up an executable attached to an email. I mean, Windows XP has gone through some pretty significant pains to let you know that that's not a safe thing to do unless you know exactly what you're doing or exactly who it's from. And you'll see the who it's from part is not so easy either in just a moment. So, I know of at least one person on the list that actually did open this up, and apparently it formatted their hard drive or did something terrible. So it's just downright a malicious program. It's nothing to do with a sound editor. So, the story even gets a little more interesting. The person then began spoofing email addresses. So, well, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Daryl Shandro wrote a message back to the list saying, watch out for this. This is not what it claims to be. This same person had written Daryl back in November claiming that he had a program that would get around the Google visual verification problem. And of course, you know, Daryl has been living and breathing the visual verification issues. So this guy is well, he's definitely a blind person. He's among us, and he knows what the issues are. So Daryl actually wrote the guy back and got some more information, ended up running it, and lost it. Formatted his hard drive, and I think he set another drive on his network even. So, I mean, this just goes to show you, you know, you need to not open those up. In fact, the default condition of Outlook Express is not even to allow you to accept attachments. So you really have to go through a little bit of trouble to enable that. And then even when you do, you get warnings about files on the internet and so forth. So don't open up an attachment, even especially one that sounds too good to be true. But any attachment, really. Well, sure, you can open up a text file. And you know, a text file cannot have a virus in it, okay? I used to say that about MP3 files too. And actually, you can't even say that about text files anymore either, because really, you know, this string of characters that causes Eloquence to crash is a virus in many ways. It's not unlike the buffer overrun viruses or exploitations that you hear about in Windows. So what's happening is somebody's taking advantage of a bug in software to their own ends. Now, when somebody's really sophisticated, they can make a program crash and they'll know where it's going to crash to and fill in that area of memory with some instructions to do other things for them, whatever it may be, whether it be to format your hard drive or to spread this virus further or whatever. Now, in this case, that's not what's happening. This is just a string of characters that, good boy, that crashes Eloquence.
Offside, 4th Avenue.
Good boy. Hello. Good boy. I have to apologize for the sound of my voice. I've gotten a terrible cold here in the last couple of days. Anyway, to continue the story, another message came up on the Blind Cool Tech list with Daryl's address as the return address. But this guy was spoofing Daryl's address. He was using some fake email headers to make it look like it came from Darren. Daryl. Excuse me. And this message said, "Oh, my apologies. I'm sorry I tried this out and it's okay. Apologize to you, Dan," or whoever it was that was supposed to have written this program. Well, I hope that didn't cause some other people to run the program. And that was a pretty dirty trick, actually, but it gets worse. Well, the guy starts posting messages with that what we're referring to now is the evil word onto the list as part of the subject line. So anybody that's reading the list with eloquence is getting their computer to crash. Now, Neil contacted Freedom Scientific, and there is a patch for this, and we'll post that, the information for that, up on the website in case you're not subscribed to the list and you don't want to go in there using eloquence right now, because there's too many of those messages with that subject line. And Neil brought up a good point, too, when he wrote a message to the list this morning about reading, you know, a group of messages like that with the newest first. And I've always preferred reading email that way. That way you can get answers to questions that had a lot of discussion. And, you know what's going on, like, up to the minute, without having to tread over old ground that other people may have covered in subsequent messages. So, excuse me. I need to go home and go to bed. That's what I need to do. So this guy started spoofing several emails, including my email address. So it really brought up the issue of trust and email. There was a pretty good discussion of this on the list. Tim and a couple others provided us with some great information about the ease of faking an email address. And, good boy. I guess there was something in the sidewalk there. Jake brought me right up against the wall. Good dog. That's my little buddy. The only real way to verify that you're who you say you are is to have some kind of digital signature in your messages. But there's some drawbacks to that too. And I hope we'll get into a few casts that discuss email security in much more greater detail. But suffice it to say that if something looks funny or out of character, you can't really trust an email. An email is pretty anonymous. Ray Kurzweil, in his book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, discusses the idea of taking on virtual personalities. So this problem is going to really become a lot more prevalent when we can make ourselves look and sound like another person. But it's already easy enough with email. It's just that we can be a little more skeptical when it's just words on a page, as opposed to seeing the person's face and movements and hearing their speech. It's going to be a little harder to be skeptical about the authenticity of that with all that extra input. But the fact is, right now, it's very, very easy to fake a return address on an email. Good boy. You know, I've seen these spoofed email addresses come from other places. Like, there at work, every once in a while we see one from somebody at APH.org, and we can tell that's not a correct email because it's usually got the person's name on our from field instead of their email address. But what happens is unscrupulous characters just gather up email addresses and they'll use those as the reply to, just really mainly to keep from getting caught or possibly to make it look a little more legitimate. So you've all seen these too. You know, when you get an email from, PayPal, we've already talked about that, phishing. Or I just got two today from, two from one company, from Chase Bank. And they look legitimate. You know, you need to update your account information. Click here. Don't ever do that. Never, never, never. If you get an email like that, if you must read it, I don't even read them. I just delete them. If I'm curious, I'll go to Chase. Chase.com, log on and see. But it really brought home the point when it was targeted so precisely at our needs and wants. This is a small scale, kind of petty thing, but it really brings the point home. The thing is too, if you get a digital signature, not everyone knows to verify your messages with that digital signature. So if, Joe Blow gets a message that says it's from me, that says, your mama wears army boots or something, he's gonna just right off think that's me. Now, he's not gonna think, well, I need to digitally verify this. And this can cause some serious problems. So what Neil and I both and many others on the list have suggested is just to ignore these emails that come through with that string of characters with the evil word, the crashing word. And I will put something up on a spot on the webpage. It may have to wait till I get back from California, but I'll try my best to get it up there tonight to point you to the fix for this, and then I'll put up a page with plenty of warnings that this could crash your system if you don't have the fix, and, just as a way to test it. So all kinds of ideas have been thrown around about how to stop this guy. You know, the fact is there's not a lot we can do. It's a sad fact that security and vigilance, I guess, diligence too, are in order nowadays. You know, you wouldn't think of walking out of your house with your doors left wide open in this day and age, even though we did 20 years ago. Well, that's what we're doing with our computers. And, you know, we have a lot of data on our computers. We already had a discussion about picking out good passwords. That's one thing you immediately have to do. Obviously, don't open attachments that you don't know the authenticity of. And, for goodness sake, update that Eloquence. This is a crying shame that this has been allowed to go on as long as it has. It's at least several years old. Hey. And nothing's really ever been done about it. So, the positive that came out of this is that looks like something will be done now. Because, you know, what's to stop this guy from sending this message to the JAWS list or the Window Eyes list or anything? Well, nothing. You know, you can kick the guy off the list, but then all he has to do is pose as me or anyone. I mean, he can read the thing at the archives. So there's really not a good way to keep everyone off the list. Like I was saying, it's really very similar to, you know, a little punk that might egg your house every night. What are you going to do? Stay up all night and wait for him every night?
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic. What about you?
Oh, pretty good.
So we're going to stop in here and get some coffee, little buddy. Uh-oh, here comes a fire truck. Man, we just passed the firehouse, too. Inside. Right. Hope you passed it, little buddy. Come on. Let's go back. Left. There you go. No, not that one. One more. Up. Left. Inside. There you go. Left. That's it, little buddy. Good boy. Talking to me?
Yep.
I'd like to get a bag of Columbia.
Okay. Do you want a ground?
Yes, please.
Okay. Anything else for you?
That will do it.
Are you in the bean
club? I sure am.
What's your last name?
Skutchan. Skutchan. Have a seat there, little buddy. That's a good doggy. Good boy.
Did you say you did want a ground?
Yes, please. Yep.
All right.
Oh, no thanks. Thank you. Alrighty.
12 cents and 10.
Alright, thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. Toward the handle there. Let's see, I'm going to stop here and get a little air out of this so I can fit it in my pocket better. Well, maybe it'll fit. Yeah, I wanted to get this to take with me. Good boy. To LA, because I can't stand trying to figure out which of those coffees they give you is the caffeinated or the decaf. Plus, it's not that great anyway, and this is some good coffee. Boy, we're supposed to get snow here tonight, so I'll be glad to go to LA. So anyway, back to eloquence. It really is a shame that this bug has been in there this long, and granted, that's not a word that you would normally come upon, but it's very inconvenient when you do, to say the least, and it could be worse. I mean, there are cases when you could have destruction, depending on, you know, one thing that happens when a computer crashes is that the path of execution goes to an unknown place, and if that unknown place happens to contain some code that would do some damage, it would not be a good thing. I mean, can you imagine Microsoft letting Word or Internet Explorer go out there where a something you read on the screen could cause it to crash? I don't think so. I'd be ridiculed out of the business for that. So, it really is high time this was fixed. Now, I thought Eloquence had fixed this problem with the Sappy 5 version of their text-to-speech engine. But as I was saying, I was running WindowEyes, and I thought it was using Sappy 5, but it wasn't. So I looked afterwards, and it is using Sappy 4. Now, you can also switch to, you know, another text-to-speech engine that you might buy somewhere, like from nextup.com. The thing I don't like about those voices is they're too sluggish. Too much time before they start talking. Too big of pauses in between sentences and phrases. So those aren't really an option, in my opinion, for general screen reader work. At least not the way they are in today's incarnation. Although it's better than having a crash. So what do we do about all this? It kind of reminds me of one time when I was still married to Donna, We were at the Mall of America up in Minneapolis, St. Paul area there. And we were down in the food court. I believe it was on the first floor of the place. We were out just drinking a Coke or coffee or something. And somebody up on... Great, how you doing? Somebody up on one of the floors above us was throwing little pieces of ice down into the crowd. One of them hit right on our table, in fact. And, you know, we couldn't tell who it was, but you know why he was doing it. He was doing it so he could watch people's reaction. And that's why this guy's doing this. He loves to see everybody get all riled up and bent out of shape. And I'm calling the FBI. And first of all, I don't think, well, I could be wrong. I really don't know about tying up the FBI's resources on a little, well, I want to say a little kid. This guy's 30. Still a little kid, I guess. So that's what he's doing. He loves to throw ice down on the end of the crowd and watch what happens. So I think the best thing we need to do, first of all, get that eloquence fixed. If you're using window ice, switch over to deck access 32 for a while. I'm actually getting to where I like it a little better. I'm kind of glad for the opportunity to switch over. The other thing is, ignore those messages. Don't talk about them. Just delete it and move on. Good boy. Somebody shoveling some gravel there, huh, little buddy? That's really, I guess the other thing is we really need to treat your email with a little bit of skepticism. Actually, anything you read on the internet, it's too easy to fake it. And you know, when we talked about phishing before and spoofing, it used to be pretty easy to tell these things because they'd have grammatical errors in them, but these guys have smartened up a little bit. You know, they'll generally make an email look like it came from Chase Bank or PayPal or whatever. So it's the same thing that they're doing is what's been happening with us on a much smaller scale, but a much more personal scale, which makes it a little more disturbing. Neil suggested, and if you're on the list, you already know this by now, you know, you may want to unsubscribe for a couple of days till all this settles down. Those of you that joined the email list this weekend, we're in for a pretty exciting time. I've never seen quite such a roller coaster ride on an email list. And what was really frustrating was that this whole spoofing the email addresses thing. So, you know, somebody might spoof my email, for instance, and put the evil word in it, and then, you know, 10 people will write this guy off list. So, you dirty jerk, what are you doing this for? And he gets all these messages. He has no idea what anybody's talking about because he didn't really write it. So, you know, we have to be careful there too. This is the fact of living in the digital age. You know, you hear these companies that lose valuable data, credit card companies, college admissions. That's some serious stuff to have your identity stolen. And when someone uses your email address, it's a very slight form of that. It can get much, much worse. Believe me, I mean, we've heard the horror stories, so I don't want to try to make anyone overly paranoid, but at the same time, let's exercise some caution and some common sense as we go about our business on the internet. We're living in a big world with a lot of people in it, and everybody is right in each other's backyard. I mean, the globe is in your backyard. So you can't just walk out of the house without locking it anymore. So the way we're going to leave this is that we're going to leave List going. We thought about shutting it down, but you know what? That's maybe what the guy wants. I think we'll just have to ignore his messages and continue our discussions on the topics that interest us on the list. Got a good voicemail from Chris Peppel talking about money. Well, here you go, Chris. Take it away.
Hi, Larry and everybody. This is Chris Peppel from Arlington. And I just finished listening to your podcast, Larry, on folding money and on accessibility. And the two comments I had, as far as folding money, only once that I truly know of was I cheated. And, of course, I couldn't prove it because I went to a store and was told, well, here's a five. And I got back to Arlington about 45 minutes later and went to get a haircut. Come to find out that was only a one. Now, luckily, I had enough money with me. But how could I have proven that? So I think for many of us, and your suggestion on folding money is great, I, for the most part, use my bank card. And this way, if I'm cheated for any reason, then at least I can find out about it online and show, and also have the slip and show proof of it. And that is the one nice thing. I always check to see what has gone through and what hasn't. As far as accessibility and universal accessibility, I know, I guess I'm at this point in our lives beating a dead horse, but wouldn't it be nice if we had universal accessibility in all products? Because then we wouldn't have to necessarily have the argument about market forces and, well, minority of people and whatnot. I think they're true to an extent, but I also think that corporate America, or should I say manufacturers, will use it sometimes as any excuse not to do it. Wouldn't it be nice that, you know, if you could buy a CD player or a mini disc player, MP3, or your washing machine or stove or whatever, and it wouldn't make any difference if it was all visual, the fact that you'd be able to access it. I think that would be great for everybody. And I think, frankly, it would be the way to go, short of somehow receiving our site. And that one hasn't come about yet. Well, anyway, those are my 2 cents worth, and we'll talk to you all later. I know.
That's a point. Good dog. And, Chris, you bring up some excellent points. And I use a bank card quite a bit, too. One thing I worry about with that, though, is, well, first of all, I don't like having to deal with something twice. So you take the bank card out, and then, you know, you have to reconcile it when it comes through the bank. The nice thing about cash is you take it out once and dispense it and be through with it. After keeping records, hey, bank card is a better way to go. The other slightly more disturbing aspect of that is, you know, there is a case where someone really could take you for some money. In fact, it happened to a friend of mine one time that a waitress put a $200 tip on his card instead of a $2 tip. I don't know whether that was intentional or malicious, but the fact is, it happened. So I'm the slightest bit hesitant. You know, you can keep your receipts, But the thing with cash is, you know, the most you're going to be beaten out of is whatever your change is. You're limiting your liabilities to what you have on the table. Chris, you bring up some excellent points too about the accessibility, and I think this is grounds for some more discussions, some entire podcasts on the topic. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today. I do want to encourage you to continue to send in your podcasts, your music, your experiences, reviews, careers. You'll have to do it by going to yousendit.com and using blindcooltech@gmail.com as the address to send it to. For now, anyway, we've got a couple ideas on what to do with that FTP site, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do them before I leave. Good boy. Hey, Fred. Howdy. What's up, big guy? You trying to lick? Yuck. All right, I want to be careful not to throw this bag down. I've got my laptop in it. All right. You guys have a good one, and I, as always, thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. I wish we had a more lighthearted subject today, but these are things you need to know if you're going to play the game. And I'm glad we learned on such a rank amateur rather than something a little more serious. Good boys. We'll see you guys later. Probably won't be doing any walks this week since I'll be at the CSUN conference, but maybe I'll do a few walks around the exhibit hall and so forth. Y'all have a great one, and we will see you later.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. If you would like to contact us, our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the Blind Cool Tech email list at blindcooltech-request@freelists.org. Our phone number is 206-984-9203, where you may leave voicemail feedback about the show.